Message this morning is "Let the little children come to me." So if you'll open up your Bibles to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, that will be our text. Now, whenever we talk about children, it can be difficult because, well, I remember when we were first married that we couldn't conceive for a while. And then when we were conceiving, there were miscarriages. And so those were some really dark and difficult days. And some of you are not able to have children, and we realize that. And yet we also realize that all of us are mothers and fathers. I remember when I came to know the Lord, I didn't have a mother and father who loved Jesus. And so there were so many. I had 50 fathers and 50 mothers who adopted me. And I ate good, and I had plenty of fellowship. So praise God. That's all of our responsibility. And so we have so many children in this church, and we have to remember what the great church father, John Chrysostom. Chrysostom means golden-mouthed or silver-tongued. And he said this: "Higher than every painter, higher than every sculptor, and higher than all artists do I regard the one who is skilled in the art of forming the soul of children." And so the greatest missionaries in the world today are missionary mom, missionary dad. You don't have to be a parent to be a father or a mother. Amen? By God's grace, if you're a Christian, you're called to multiply. You're called to make disciples of every creature. The Apostle Paul didn't have any children, but how many spiritual children did he have? And he constantly talked about his beloved son in the faith, Timothy, or his beloved son, Titus. And so remember that we are all called to be fathers. We are all called to be mothers. And let's keep that in mind as we read the scripture in Mark 10, 13 through 16. It was read already, but I'll read it again. Let's stand together as we read. This is God's word. "People were bringing little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them, but the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, 'Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I tell you, anyone who does not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it.' And he took the children in his arms, placed his hands on them, and blessed them." This is God's word. You may be seated. So you either have to be a child or be like a child to enter into the kingdom. And on this day, when the parents were bringing their children to Jesus, he had a very busy day. He had healed many. And the disciples thought that Jesus was far too important to deal with the children. And this was a wrong idea. And we need to avoid wrong ideas about children. See, the people were bringing the little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them and bless them. But the disciples, what did they do? They rebuked them. They rebuked the parents. They thought Jesus was just too important. You know, we can be so wrong about how we approach children. And we can think they're too young to comprehend. That would be a mistake, wouldn't it? Sometimes little children can comprehend the transcendent, the incomprehensible, more than adults can. Wouldn't you agree? Never think that your child or children are too young to come to know Jesus. Listen, if they have a mind to be able to sin, they have a mind to be able to repent. And there comes a point, sometimes very, very young in a child's life, when there is an awareness of themselves and of sin and of God. And at that age, whatever age that is, and sometimes it's very, very young, those children need to come to Jesus. I've had some of the most intense theological discussions with one of my children. I won't name them, but they were like 4 years old, 5 years old. I was so intense that I recorded it. I have it on audio. And I thought, how can a child be saying this? But see, we discount the image of God in our children when we neglect them. You see, children are made in the image of God. And it is our responsibility to reach out to them. Now, it's not just my responsibility to reach my children. Do you know, there are so many of you who, I think of Cedric as our favorite uncle. You know, every time they see Cedric, my kids, when they were little, they'd run into Cedric's arms. He's their favorite, you know. And there are so many of you who have loved on my children, and we love each other's children. And the best thing we can do is tell them about Jesus. Don't keep them from Jesus. Sometimes as parents, not only do we think kids are too young to know God, but we get too busy in life, don't we? You ever get too busy for your kids and you forget and all of a sudden a year's gone by? And yes, you've brought them to church. You've done some religious things, but you haven't reached out to touch their heart. We need to realize that we've got wrong ideas about children. We're willing to sit them in front of technology for hours, but we're not willing to open the Bible with them for hours. And there is great technology out there that can also show them the way of Jesus. Amen? Children can grasp salvation. They can learn to read and write. They can think abstractly, even at a young age. And if they can do that, they can come, and they must come to the Lord Jesus Christ. So don't get too busy, because there's nothing more important than that a child come to know the Lord at the youngest of ages. I love the emphasis on this passage and the words that are used for children. The word could be used, could be translated infant. Let the little infants come. It's children of all, from the youngest of ages, that were where the parents were bringing their babies to Jesus for him to bless them. And we'll talk a little bit about what that means in a second. But one thing we have to understand is that we have to not be too busy for our children, because they're in our house for just a short time. Would you agree? And that time is never repeated. Today will never be repeated with your child. And what you need to do is take those tender moments with a child and talk with them in a way that they understand. Don't rebuke people for bringing their children to Jesus. I know they were all about, these disciples were all about the importance of Jesus, and they thought, you know, he's so important, we're not going to bother him with the children. But children are the very seed of the kingdom of God, the Bible says here. We'll look into that later too. What's another wrong idea? Sometimes we get distracted with wrong priorities. We think, you know, my son or my daughter needs a good education. They need to behave. They need to make money, especially so they can support me one day, you know. But the truth is, we can put good things above the best things, and that is idolatry. When, you know, I used to tell my kids, and I still tell them, look, if you are a professional garbage picker and you love Jesus, I am going to rejoice with all of my heart and all of my soul. Because you're doing it for the glory of God. You know, my children are at the age where suitors come to talk to me. And I just want to hurt them for whatever reason. I don't understand this visceral reaction. I don't understand it. And that's true. Gavin can he's counseled me on several occasions, helped me through this, because he's been through it himself. Amen. But here's the deal. When these young men come and they're trying to be robots for Jesus, you know, and they're trying to say all the right things, it makes me sick. makes me sick. Young men, are you hearing me? When I have a young man that says, I'm messed up, but I love Jesus. I have these, and the Spirit makes them honest. That's what I want. And when you raise children, you spend your whole life praying that they come to know Jesus. Because that's the most important thing. But don't have wrong priorities. You can have Mr. Right. Parents, are you listening to me? Or Miss Perfect come into their lives and they have everything right. But do they know Jesus is my question. Do they walk with Jesus in a real way? Or are they just robots that can spew out facts? Everybody can spew out theological facts. But do you walk with Jesus? Does your children walk with Jesus? That's the priority that we need to have in our homes. We need to form their minds and their hearts with good, sound theology and sound catechisms and all of those things. Bible verses. I mean, they should be memorizing verses while they're young, because that's when they have the capacity to do it. But they can do all that and miss Christ. Make sure that your children come to know Jesus. Don't think that a good education is better than knowing Jesus. I would rather my children not know how to learn to read and write and still know Jesus than have the best Harvard education and go straight to hell. Children are the greatest mission field in all the world. Wouldn't you agree? And Jesus has this desire for children, and it's a jealous desire. When he saw that his disciples were keeping the children from him, he said to them, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these." He was indignant. What is it that makes Jesus flash with anger? It's keeping children from him. How do we do that? Well, I want you to understand that the world has a whole system to enslave children to sin. Satan is the god of this world that blinds the minds of all those who don't know the gospel. We know that, right? And if our children don't walk with Jesus, they will live enslaved to the evil one. So we have to be careful about allowing them to be exposed to the world. Now, that doesn't mean that we live in isolation, right? So if they're going to be exposed to sin, we need to expose them to it. The Bible exposes all of us to sin. And we can use the Bible to expose our children to sin and to see it in the light of God. But the world has so many different ways, even that you can put in your pocket, to expose our children to all kinds of ways of deceit and idolatry, to love things as greater than God, to want friends' approval as greater than God, to want even good things and put them above God. How do we neglect our children so that Jesus' anger flashes at us? Well, we allow our children's friends to raise them. Do you hear me? All of the most evil things that I learned as a child, I learned from my friends. I learned how to get drunk when I was probably 11 years old. I learned how to smoke. I learned how to do a lot of things that were not helpful and that hurt me. And I did a lot of things that even tormented my conscience because I had a tender conscience. And it even made me so hard, and it learned how to curse from my friends. My friends raised me in, not in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, but in the damnation of Satan. We neglect our children when we let them just go to their friends. We need to be keeping an eye on them and guiding them, not as helicopter parents. Amen. We are not the fourth member of the Trinity. But we need to help them and make them wise, as young Timothy was, wise unto salvation. And I see that in our young people. It's so delightful to me when my kids have friends over and to hear the conversations that they have. It's a beautiful thing. We neglect our children when we fail to pray for them. We need to pray for our children and with them. We need to pray over them, about their own soul. And each night, before my children came to know the Lord, almost every single night I would be in their bedroom praying over them and praying that they would come to know the blood of Jesus, to have that blood just cleanse them from all of their sins and to know the resurrection power of Jesus. You know, if you know that power, then you should be praying that over your children on a daily basis. You neglect your children when you get exasperated with them. And I'm not saying we all don't get exasperated. We all do. But when you let that linger and you don't talk to your children about, you know, just about their sin, but not just about their sin, but about the gospel. You know, every time my children have sinned, it's been an opportunity to say, you've not broken my law. You've broken God's law. And while this hurts me, this hurts God more. And God loves you so much that he sent his only son to die for you. See, when a child is disobedient, it's the most wonderful time to preach the gospel to them. Would you agree? And if they are disobedient and they need correction, it's when their hearts are soft, like a candle, the wax can be molded. You know, one of the things that really damns our children to a Christless eternity is simply by not spending time with them. Mama, spend time with your kids. Daddy, spend time with your kids. Maybe you say, well, Mama spends so much time, I don't have to spend so much time with them. Oh, our kids don't just need a mama, they need a daddy too. And some of us have grown up with parents, you know, whether you have one mom and one parent in the home, one mom, one dad, whatever it is. I grew up with just a mom. I have my dad and mom divorced when I was a kid, so that was really tough. But, you know, when I came to know Jesus, the men of the church became fathers to me. And the character and the discipline that I have is because of those men. And I can tell you, they spent time with me. They brought me to their houses and I spent time with them. And they taught me the word. They even taught me how to parse Greek verbs at times. You know, I mean, these were godly men. And I love them, and they're fathers to me, and godly women who are mothers to me. If you decide to be indifferent to children, imagine coming to the gates of heaven and there are children. Maybe they're your children and you have to say goodbye to them. Maybe they're children of this church that you should have reached out to, but you didn't. And you have to say goodbye to them forever. The gates of heaven. Jesus had a jealous desire, but he had a tender desire. He said, let them come to me. You know, my wife and I, we realized a long time ago, we are not the Savior. When you look down on your children when they fail and you go, how dare you? You know what kind of attitude that is? It's self-righteous and it's demonic because it's like Satan. Satan is, what is his main job? What does he do? He is the accuser of the brethren. And so when we look at our children, we say, how dare you? And we treat them like an animal and stick their nose in the nastiness. That's not God's way. Because we are all sinners, aren't we? So we should be humble in dealing with them. And we should say, look, Jesus' arms are outstretched for you. Jesus died for sinners. I remember when my twin sister at the age of 25 came to know the Lord. She had to come as a little child. And there was a little child sitting next to her, a 12-year-old young lady, the pastor's daughter. And my twin sister, in that little garage church, they had just started this Reformed Baptist church in a garage in the bayou of Louisiana. I don't know how she got there, but it happened to be 50 feet from our childhood home. I said, you got to go to that church. So she did. She heard the gospel. And at the end of the message, she said, I'm too sinful to come to Jesus. And the little girl said, no. Sinners are just the people that God saves. You see, Jesus wants sinful children to come to Him. You're not the Savior. Don't act like some demigod in your house, looking down your nose at your children when they fail. We're all going to make our own mistakes. Did you make mistakes on the way? Anybody? Anybody not make mistakes? Okay, I saw those hands go down really quick. Thank you. Be tender and kind to your children, because you are a sinner too. And we have a tender Savior who wants children to come to Him. We read this morning, that children are an heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is His reward. Our children do not belong to us. Amen? They are on loan from the Lord. They are a stewardship. I tell my children regularly that this arrangement, this domestic arrangement where I'm father and their children, is very temporary. That the moment we hit the gates of heaven, we're going to be brother and sister forever. And so I always tell them that it is more important that you be my sister or my brother in Christ than you be my child, because that is a very temporary arrangement. And so it's an honor when my children come to know them. I said to my son, William, I remember when he came to know the Lord, I said, you're not just my son, you're my brother in Christ. That's what we want for all of our children. Amen. And then there's a kingdom desire. The kingdom of God belongs to such as these. And as I said, that means that the littlest of children were coming to Jesus, even infants. And so what does that tell us? It tells us that you cannot start too early telling your children about Jesus. One of the books that we gave the parents is it's a 1-2-3 book, and it has one God, two natures of Jesus, three persons of the Trinity, and so on, all the way to 10 commandments. And it's so wonderful that we can teach our children who God is from the littlest of ages, because you don't know the moment that God's going to save them. Well, what is this kingdom of heaven? John MacArthur says the kingdom of heaven is the sphere of God's rule in Christ through gracious salvation. It's the place where Christ is King and Savior and Lord and Redeemer. And so what is he saying? He's saying, let the little children come to me and let me be their king. Don't hinder them. My kingship and my kingdom belong to little ones. We don't want to lose their soul. What does it profit a man or a child to gain the whole world and forfeit his or her own soul? You can give your children so many things, but the thing that matters is that they know Jesus Christ. You know, my mom and dad, as you know, did not teach me the gospel, but I did have a Savior that loved me and wanted me to come to Him. And so I had many people knocking on my door in Louisiana, down in the swampland. And so many people, so many church groups knocked on my door. And I probably messed up all the numbers, because I got saved every time they came to my door. I was like, yes, I'll pray the sinner's prayer. But, you know, they did plant the seed of the gospel, even though I didn't come to know the Lord. They did plant the seed of the gospel deep in my heart. And I remember going to the mall. Many times there were people passing out gospel literature. So many times I read it. I read the Bible verses. And all of that was a seed in my heart, so that when I was 15 years old, I trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Spirit came into my heart and taught me all that I needed to know. I think of children coming to Jesus and how little they were. And I have a quote here from Charles Spurgeon. He said, a child of 5, if properly instructed, can truly believe and be regenerated just as an adult. A child who knowingly sins can savingly believe. And so that means that if we are going to come, we must come to Jesus as children. Children are humble. He says, truly I say to you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a child will never enter into it. Children are not thinking of anyone. They're not thinking about their reputation. All they are thinking about is their need. And if you're here today without Jesus Christ, just know that you're one day closer to the ultimate statistic. 10 out of 10 people die. And if you are going to come to Jesus, you must come as a child. Oh, there's so many different blogs and so many different channels that you can turn to discount God. There's so many things that people raised in the church have put together to assault Christianity. But they're, if you really look at all of their arguments, they're easily defeated. Sometimes I bring these arguments to my children and to my wife, and we talk about them, and I say, I'm just shocked at how easily, you know, Richard Dawkins or Christopher Hitchens, those atheistic books are so easily defeated with Sunday school material. So easily defeated. And yet these are the greatest minds that the world can produce. Jesus said that if you know Him, you're wiser than the greatest of the wise of the world. Our little children who know Jesus put those with 10 PhDs to shame who don't know God. They are the wise ones. So come to Jesus and be humble. Just come to Him as you are and say, I don't know anything. All I know is I'm a sinner on my way to eternal destruction. Children are also helpless. If you don't come like a little child, and again, that word is a unique word. It could refer to an infant. I mean, what can an infant do? It can mess his pants. He can slop the food into his mouth, and he can cry, and he can smile. Thankfully, they smile a lot. That's good. But they're helpless. Once I was in a meeting in my kitchen, and one of my children, the bathroom's not far from the kitchen, and they said, Daddy, wipe me. And I was like, well, okay. I dropped, you know, they don't care about their reputation. They don't care who hears. They just have a need, and they're helpless, and they need help right now. And that's what we need to do. We need to realize we're in a hot mess. Our sins have condemned us already. And we don't want to stand before a holy, gracious God who gave His only begotten Son and miss that salvation. Why would we miss that salvation? Why would we go right past the cross and go into a lake of fire? Who would do that? Come to God as a little child. So much to say here. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto the Father except through me. He says, come and I will give you rest. And so as we close here today, I want you to see what Jesus did for the children and His blessing upon the children and His blessing for you today. He took the children in His arms. He placed His hands on them and He blessed them. What does that mean that He blessed them? Well, He said, of such is the kingdom, didn't He? So certainly He must have prayed over the children. But had they been of the age to understand, certainly He pointed them to the kingdom, to Himself. Trust in me. Come to me. And let me ask you, do you want the blessing of Jesus? Do you want your sins forgiven? The Bible says He blessed them, and the idea is that He fervently blessed them. This is a very powerful word. Jesus was eager. As angry as He was that they were withheld from Him, this is how happy He was to be able to bless them. And the Lord Jesus Christ is happy to bless you today. We pray for our children. But what about you? Don't you need a blessing? Don't you need a dedication? Doesn't everyone here need Jesus Christ and His blessing of salvation? The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5, that Jesus became sin for us. He who knew no sin, that we might be the righteousness of God in Him. The idea is that all of your unrighteous, ungodly sin is put off to the side and placed on Jesus. And all of His righteousness is given to you so that when you stand before God because of your faith in the cross of Jesus Christ, God acquits you of all of your sins and you stand justified and righteous before a holy God. You say, how in the world is that possible? Well, if that's not possible, we're all going to hell. Because nobody ever got into heaven by their good works. You cannot erase your sin through good works. How many criminals go to the judge when they've, you know, when they've done a great crime and they say, but judge, I mean, I'm a good person. I do a lot of good things. No. Jesus took the full impact of all of your sins and all of my sins upon Himself. And if you would just come to Him as a little child and say, Lord, help. Isn't that the greatest prayer? Help me, Lord. I need You. I'm lost. I don't know You. I'm religious, maybe, but I don't know You. I haven't come to know You. I don't have the assurance and the joy of the Holy Spirit that I'm going to have eternal life. But give me eternal life now. You are the way, the truth, and the life. I give You my life. You gave me Your life. Give me eternal life. And if that's you today, if you are 5 or 95, come to Jesus today. Amen? Let's stand together. Lord, we thank You so much for Your love. I know that there are hearts that are so delighted to see these little children, and we want to see them come to know You. But Lord, I pray now, as I prayed for the little children, I pray for everyone here, married, single people. Lord, everyone here has heard the gospel clearly, that Jesus Christ is the only way to the Father, that we cannot make it through our own works. And that we can pretend that God doesn't exist, just like somebody who parks their chair on I-90 can say, trucks don't exist. But they're going to learn that trucks do exist. Oh, Father, I pray for the conviction of the Holy Spirit even right now, that anyone here who has not yet come to know You and really truly understand that their sins are forgiven, that they would come to You even now as a little child. And Lord, as I pray, I want to ask if there's anyone here, as we're bowing before the Lord, if you say, Pastor Matt, you know, I was really touched by this and how simple it is to come to know Jesus. And I'm not sure that I am truly a believer, but I want to be sure. I want to be sure. And I just want you to pray for me and ask for Jesus' blessing of eternal life on me. If that's you today and you need Christ and you're going to be humble enough and helpless enough to say, please pray for me. If that's you, would you just kind of raise your hand so I can see it, and then I'll pray for you. Thank you. Thank you so much. Praise God. Thank you. Thank you. Both adults and children eager to raise their hands. Anyone else? Thank you so much. Praise God. What a beautiful thing. Praise God. Anyone else? So many have raised their hands and indicated their need for Jesus. And Father, You see that, Lord. You see the humility. And maybe there's some others who are in their hearts. They're saying, I want You, Jesus. I pray that even now in this service, even as I did 30 years ago, I called on Your name and I asked You to save me, Lord. And I just pray for these who are here anyone who is here who doesn't know you and that they just cry out to you and say, Lord, I am a sinner. I'm a great sinner and I'm on my way to hell. Lord, would you please save me? Cleanse me from my sins. I believe that Jesus died for me in my place. And Lord, give me all of your righteousness because I don't have any of my own. Give me eternal life. Thank you for the resurrection of Jesus and help me to live in his power. And Father, we just pray for all of us here that we would all be dedicated to know you, to spread your kingdom, where you are king, your Son is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.